Title of the article and the topic I want to talk about today for the second half of the show is Are You Doing Business with Zombies? And Beware the Zombie Business Apocalypse. So zombie companies are what I'm talking about. You know, just like zombies are called the walking dead and all the science fiction and horror. Zombie companies are the walking dead. They're businesses that have been requiring recurring bailouts to stay in business. They can't stay in business. They can't repay their debt. They're companies that are dead, and when you look at the fundamentals of their businesses and the long-term viability of their businesses. The zombification, if you like that word, of businesses and industries has been taking place for quite a while. And while manufacturing is on the upswing and coming back in the United States and being repatriated, there are a lot of companies that have begun their zombification process by focusing more on their stock price and how they can manipulate that in the marketplace than how they can grow the stock value and consequently the stock price by just doing a good business, sound business practices. So that zombification and that focus on the stock price rather on than on deploying their cash towards their operations has been a trend for decades for some industries. And so what's been happening is companies had a lot of cash. Their business has been growing. They've been making a lot of sales. They've been generating a lot of revenues and consequently positive cash flows. But rather than deploying their funds to make more robust businesses and dealing with the things that are hidden below the waterline by being successful businesses in the short term. And when I think short term, it's like year to year, quarter to quarter, they're hitting their revenue marks, they're hitting their profitability, their stock price, all those kind of financial measures. They've deployed that cash to repurchase their stock and build stock value in the marketplace rather than building stock value by building more robust, sustainable businesses. So while their businesses were doing well, or at least okay, in producing it, they wanted everything to look even better by repurchasing their stock in the marketplace. So Arbor Data Science, I don't know if you've heard of them, they've done all research into the business sectors, and they've been identifying five sectors that have a predominance, let's say, of zombie companies within those sectors. And these zombie companies actually in industries account for about 1 million jobs that The Walking Dead could permanently eliminate from their roles when the companies vanish. And that includes software companies, about 150,000. Hotel, restaurants, and leisure, another 150,000. Energy, equipment, and services, around 185,000 jobs. Hardware, storage, and peripherals, almost 200,000 jobs. And industrial conglomerates are around a quarter of a million jobs. And what's been happening is that these companies are, well, they're just not looking at the business fundamentals. That reminds me of a person I worked for so briefly about 20 some years ago, who called a meeting of all of the leadership of the company I was with at the time and wanted to talk to us about how we can manipulate the financials. He said we were being paid to manipulate the financials, not grow the business. And that was something I had a real heartburn with, and I did not stay with that company. I left them very quickly because that fundamental perspective of managing the numbers rather than managing the business is what leads to zombification. And so corporate debt has become the source for funding growth rather than the last alternative for funding growth. Companies seeking to become larger and larger, and they're either chasing economies of scale or the market share crown in their industry, they don't tend to look at what would be the sustainable growth rate, the healthy growth rate of an internally funded growth rate. So if you funded your growth strictly from operational proceeds, from profits and positive cash flows, and you only use debt to change the timing of those cash flows, meaning you know you're going to have cash flowing in from the sales, and you know you have steady sales and growing sales at growing at a healthy rate, then you would borrow only to change the timing. So you made the sale, you may have 90 days before you collect all the funds from that sale, and so you go to the bank for them to make those funds available to you now rather than, and you pay them back in 90 days when you get the funds. So it's a timing change. Companies that want to chase the brass ring, and I've worked for several in the past that wanted to be number one in their industry. They wanted to be number one. They wanted to be number one. And I was constantly asking, is it better to be number one in sales or number one in profits in your industry? Personally, I would have rather been number three in the most profitable company with the sustainable business models and getting the products right that the customer wanted, than being the number one company with the least profits and not having a sustainably funded internally change of timing cash flows model. So, like I was saying, I would rather have a lower sales number and more profits and cash flow than a higher sales number that says, hey, I'm number one, but I have less money in the bank. So we have to ask that. So we have to use our heads and rethink growth. Bigger isn't always better. Rapid growth, high growth rates achievable only through massive debt are rarely sustainable. So sound business principles and a focus on the customer providing long-term, lifelong relationship and growth that will weather any storm and through natural or economic issues is what every business should have as their goal. From my perspective and my experience, customer-focused, productive, innovative businesses, large and small, with the potential to achieve significant growth that require short to midterm borrowing to change the timing of cash flows are the businesses we want to be. We can sustain our businesses and our operations through anything if we're robust, and we can be that way if we don't grow too quickly and outpace the business's capability to service its debt, to get debt, to change that timing, and to stay in business even when capital access is curtailed due to something like this global pandemic. The free market access to capital and the allocation of capital to businesses has truly been at issue for a long time for small businesses. Capital access has not been there, even when they have innovative business models and demand for the product. It's taken a lot of personal guarantees and a lot of sign-offs, where bigger businesses who are really fundamentally flawed in how they're doing business because they're relying on debt 100% to grow. And it's not just about changing the timing of the cash flows at that point, but the only way they can grow is to debt, use debt to acquire other businesses, to do mergers. And again, they're seeking some kind of brass ring of some kind of economies of scale. And what we find banking with banks and other entities is that the bigger they are, the more awkward they seem to be, and the less they're focused on the customer, and they create more and more issues. And so the free market and capital access allocation has to be a big concern to us as businesses of any size, because companies that have access to capital can get through anything, especially if the fundamentals of their business are sound. And so when we're looking at the economy right now, we just had, essentially a self-imposed, self-inflicted recession, because as a nation and globally, organizations decided to adhere to the guidance and take the advice and fall on their swords and close their businesses and reduce operations during this pandemic to save lives. And now we're coming back from that. And the question is this going to be a V-type recovery where we dropped because it was an artificial drop? It wasn't caused by business fundamentals or economic fundamentals. It was caused by a decision that we all undertook to curtail business and count. Now, can we just turn that around and just as quickly as we turned it off, turn it back on? And that's a question. And the question will only be answered business by business when we look at those business fundamentals. And when the waterline went down on the economy, saying, we dropped the revenues, we dropped the activity, a lot of rocks came up for a lot of businesses that were hidden by just the fact that the economy was starting to boom. and they had more business and they could cover up the flaws in their business models. What the pandemic has revealed is that cheap money has been covering a lack of business fundamentals. And so these businesses who had capital access to low-cost borrowing are the zombie companies that are walking around. They're everywhere, and we do business with them every day. And unfortunately, there's not a silver bullet. And even if there were, a silver bullet doesn't solve the zombie problem because it is a business fundamental problem. They're not doing business well. They're just using cheap money to keep their businesses growing. So as businesses, we don't want to go through a zombification process. And that's a concern with the funds that are made available with the PPP loans and the EIDL loans, the EIDL loan program, the Economic Impact Disaster loans. Why do we have to be concerned about that? Because we're taking those funds, that is going to be debt, and the EIDL loans are our debt, they're not forgivable. And then we have PPP loans that are forgivable, but may not be completely forgiven depending on how we hit those metrics. And even if the PPP loan is 100% forgiven, has it led us to make decisions in our businesses that were not optimal in the long term for the business? And so we don't want to get off of life support and find that we are zombies. So PPP loans were supposed to be life support. EIDL loans are supposed to be working capital to get us back through this V to a V-shaped economic return, turn everything back on. And money is tight for some companies. And for a lot of companies, money is non-existent. Access to capital other than these funds in the near term, at least 6 to 9 months, maybe longer, may not be there. So what are we going to do for our businesses who have been on life support? Well, it's about, and we've talked about it before, I call it business CPR. It's about cash, it's about profits, and about revenues. And so that's a little bit different. We usually focus on revenues and profits and then cash. And now I'm saying we have to think about capital and cash first because we have some funding available through these programs, and it's not meant to be a band-aid for everything. It's meant to resuscitate us, to keep us on life support until we can turn back on our businesses. But we can only turn them back on if the fundamentals were strong to begin with, and that we're weathering this, and so that we can turn it back on. So CPR is about addressing the fundamentals in our business, and the funds that are likely to be the difference between life and death for a lot of businesses in the short term, but they're not the solution for the underlying issues that the crisis has revealed in companies of all sizes. So the COVID relief funds have essentially bought us time. Time to rethink how we operate. Time to look at the new requirements that are being imposed and make some assumptions. Making assumptions that we will not return to 100% capacity in restaurants like it was before. Because we're going to come out of this, we're going to start our restaurants up, we're going to get phase one and phase two, and we're going to be back in there. And in September, October, we could see a return or increase again of cases of COVID or of something else. And so we need to rethink our businesses and how we're doing business into those changes in delivery methods and where employees work and other logistical and technical aspects of our day-to-day operations. So what about the long term? We're looking at the short term, and we know we're still impaired on about how we do businesses in many industries. And so the goal of our businesses now has to be focused on every sale, but just not as a sales number. Is that sale profitable, and is that sale giving us cash to pay our bills today? We are more and more dependent in the short term and the near term about making sure we have cash flows coming in that are positive and that are going to enable us to pay our bills. They're going to enable us to maintain our capability of doing business and re-examine our capacity and resize our businesses based on how we're going to be in business, where the customers are, and how we have to do business. So the C in CPR is about cash and capital conservation. And we've talked about it before in the programs, but we want to deploy the funds, the PPP funds, the idle funds, any other access to working capital and cash reserves, and even borrowing on our credit cards to make sure that we are capable and make sure that we have the right business model now to go forward, that we have the right headcount to be going forward for the size of the business that we are today and the size that we can grow using our internally generated cash and profits and our revenues to move us ahead. We have to make the assumption that access to capital is pretty much non-existent for at least the next 18 months. That gives us the most conservative position to say we can't get access to new lines of credit, new capital going forward. So how are we going to size our businesses to be the right size to sustain ourselves purely through capital cash flow that we can generate from our operations? And so while getting that funding that was a bridge for you and it gives you options, the options are limited to a specific time frame. You've probably spent your PPP funds, or you're close to spending your PPP funds if you're just not just now in the application process for them. So how are you going to establish your incentives to retain employees if you want to retain them? How are you going to decide which employees you want to keep, which employees you're going to replace, and you're going to call back? It's about capacity and the constraints on your business that are there now because of new requirements that I talked about earlier when we were talking about the PPP flexibility program and the FTE reduction and the salary and wage level reduction. We have new requirements in businesses of all types, not just restaurants, but restaurants are the most visible when where capacity has been reduced. We have new ways of doing business, and so we need to look at our options and look at sales and the quality of the sales. Again, gets back to what I was talking about. The large company I used to work for wanted to be number one, and I wanted to be the most profitable. I would rather be number three and the most profitable than number one and the least profitable. So we have to rethink how we look at our businesses and our objectives, and focus on the cash, focus on the ability to pay bills, to pay our customers, to add back our capacity in terms of the employees we bring back in and increasing our FTEs. So businesses at all times have to talk about short-term actions to move forward to long-term goals. That's our perspective. We have to get through the short term to get to the long term. So, but the short-term actions we take have to be done in the perspective of our long-term viability of our businesses, not through the lens of the government program requirements that may lead us to make the wrong decisions for the long-term viability of our businesses. In life, people are either Star Wars or Star Trek watchers, I find. And in my case, I grew up on Star Trek. And if you'd ever watched the second Star Trek show, The Next Generation, you may have seen an episode called Thine Own Self. And you're going to ask me, why am I talking about Star Trek: The Next Generation? Well, listen in. It does relate. In that program, Counselor Troi was pursuing her bridge officer status. She wanted to be a leader. She wanted to be able to take charge of the ship as a bridge officer in the event that something went wrong and the rest of her crew, her captain, the first officer, and the other bridge crew were incapacitated or killed. And to become a bridge officer, she had to pass a simulation test on the holodeck. And it was all about decision-making skills. And if I had had to title this episode, I would have called it Save the Ship, Save the Crew. Because time after time in that simulation, Troi tried to save everyone on the ship. She wasn't willing to sacrifice anyone. And time after time, everyone died on the ship, because she wasn't willing to make the hard call to put one or more people at risk to save the ship. And so she had to shift her thinking. She had to put her command skills into a different perspective and move from being concerned for every life to maximizing her ability to save the most lives. And her insight into that was about preserving the ship. If you saved the ship, you saved the crew. Perhaps not 100% of the crew, but if you didn't save the ship, you couldn't save any of the crew. And that's right now what a lot of businesses need to be thinking about. If you can't save your business, you can't preserve the jobs for any of your employees or yourself. And so we have to save our ship. We have to save our businesses and focus on saving the business and maximizing the number of people we can employ while still saving the business. Save the business, save the jobs, and grow again and start being successful so that you can rehire and add jobs again later. If we look purely from the PPP funds, and now that we're coming past the worst of this round of it, we know that those PPP funds have run out for a lot of businesses, and businesses are on TV asking for more PPP funds because they're still not out of the shutdown, the reduced time, the shelter in place, however we want to refer to it. And so the question becomes, is putting more PPP funds out there for everyone the answer? And I'm going to say no. Again, it's a short-term gap. We have to make a decision and shrink back our businesses to be able to sustain ourselves based on the amount of funds we can generate now. And that may mean a reduction in workforce in the short term to enable us to get to the point of being able to grow in the long term. And yes, I hear a lot of people probably screaming at me when I say no more handouts. We want hand up, we don't want hand out. And another round of PPP funds is just delaying the inevitable if we go through another cycle of this. Right now, businesses need to be looking at resizing themselves, and that may mean a temporary downsizing, a reduction of the size of their team and their activity levels, and getting as profitable as you can at that size, and then growing again to return those jobs and make higher quality, higher paying jobs going forward by having a different business model and a different rebalancing of it. We're looking at cash and capital access, and we need to also, like I said, be the most profitable business we can at the size that we can sustain. Get that profit in there, get those sales, get the cash flow, and start rebuilding our businesses without the rocks this time. And so the goal of our businesses are to be cash positive, profitable businesses that are going to allow us to put that money back into our business and grow. Something that I have conversations with startup businesses, and they're like, well, our break-even point is, and quite frankly, I wish people didn't focus on the break-even point. Let's move that little dial a little bit further down the road and tell me when you're going to get your first dollar of profit. Because my goal isn't to get to break even. My goal as a business consultant working with companies is to get them profitable. So when are you going to make your first dollar of profits, not reach the break even point? When are you going to have to pay your first dollar of taxes? And that is a milestone that we all should be proud to reach. And I do work with businesses that are so upset when they're profitable and they have to pay taxes. And I was like, okay, that's a good thing because the taxes we pay are what enables our government to have programs like the PPP program and EIDL loans and all the other programs that are out there to help businesses and help individuals through downtimes. And so taxes are a great milestone to look at and say, I have achieved a significant milestone in my business. I am profitable and I owe taxes. And so we want to be looking at how our business is doing and the health of our business. We need to look at revenue optimization by looking at getting the best customers, retaining those profitable customers, and spending our time in the best places. And one of the things I saw with a client, it's probably been 10 years ago, I was working with this client. They ran through the same process to do a proposal for a job that was $10,000 as $1 million. And they responded to every request for proposal sequentially as they came in. They didn't rank the opportunities. They didn't look at the capacity. And look, if a request for proposal came in, they started working on it. And the next one person up got the next proposal and was. And if their pipeline had everybody in their proposal department working on $10,000 projects, they missed million-dollar opportunities because no one was available to do a quick turnaround on a million-dollar proposal that needed to be done in a week. They didn't look at the quality of their opportunities and assign their resources to the ones that would generate the most revenue, the most profit, and the most cash flow for their organization. And so that was constantly a challenge with them. They needed to evaluate their opportunities to make sales, to do proposals, to get the right customers, and not just in terms of the dollar value of revenue, but the dollar value overall, profit margins, gross margins, net margins, time and effort, how many hours and dollars would be invested in the proposal for what kind of return? What was the lifelong value of getting that customer in terms of revenues and profits? We need to think in those terms. And something we also need to think about now in our efforts is we need to look at the credit worthiness and time to collection for payments, and the capacity of our sales team that we have fewer people working, and how are we going to use them to the best advantage. And so we need to look at our decision criteria so that we are thriving and vital, getting off of life support, and not going through the zombification process. So as this economic engine is revving up, your businesses need to be the right size and maximizing the impact of every action you take with the limited team that you have in place. Your team needs to be laser focused on generating quality sales that include a profit and an actual payment for the goods and services. If you make a sale today and you've had to invest in people and inputs into that sale, and let's say you were going to make a 10% gross margin on it, and you don't get paid for 6 months or at all, what good did that sale do you? So we have to look at the quality of the deals and the transactions that are about to take place. And how do you understand making that transition, working with your vendors, working with your customers to move your business from life support and be strategic about who you do business with and how you do business going forward by talking to each customer and verifying their current status of their operations and their ability to pay for services and goods. Verify prospects and new customers' credit worthiness. You may need to place a lot more people on a cash basis or cash on delivery, COD basis, in the short term because you need that cash coming in to pay your bills because there isn't a lending instrument out there to help you change the timing of cash flows right now. You need to consider breaking down larger deals and getting those commitments into a series of multiple deals. And so you're not putting as much up front in terms of people and inputs, and you're setting up payments with your vendors. So if you're going to do a $1 million deal instead of trying to fund the $1 million deal, maybe you're doing four $250,000 deals and you're committed to the full million, but you're taking it in four segments, and so you're not having to fund a $1 million deal. You're funding a series of $250,000 deals. Doing the first one, we'll fund the second quarter, we'll fund the third quarter, and it flows through that way. We need to take new looks at how we look at business and take strategic steps to make it easier to do business, to do less upfront investment, less risk and exposure for doing bigger deals, and look at how you're doing business, who you're doing business with, and make sure that you're making sound decisions, and beware the zombies. They're out there. You don't want to be doing business with them. You don't want the zombification process to rub off on you because you've done business with them and you suddenly find your limited resources have gone into a business that's incapable of paying you for what you just delivered to them. We need to think how we can maximize our impact of our businesses today. We need to preserve the ship, save the crew. We need to make the right decisions that may mean we're a smaller business in 2020 than we were in 2019. But that means we may be a bigger business in 2021 because we're still alive, and as long as we're alive, we can grow. And that's today's Focus on Business. I'm going to thank you for joining me today.